Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Round 11 in the bank for the NBL and round 6 in the WNBL. Some names. Botton, my friend, you picked some beauties this week, and we're going to get into that as well. Hello.
Hello. Yes, it was a pretty interesting round, both WNBL and NBL. So where do you want to start? With the ladies as usual?
Always, ladies first. We will start with that. Of course, Southside got the win over the Capitals on the Wednesday. Bendigo, as we knew, would beat Perth. Adelaide beating Southside.
That was an upset.
I don't want to call that a major upset, but that was pretty big. That was big. Flames beating Perth. And Geelong beating Adelaide. So where do you want to start, mate?
Well, I want to start with Adelaide because, let's face it, this is a team that's got two Olympians, and one of those, Steph Talbot, 2 years ago was All-Star 5 at a World Championship. And they've got Izzy Borlase, who we look at as a player of the future. They've got a terrific Aussie in Izzy Bourne, and then they got two quality imports. And for them to be losing twice to Geelong, and last week I said on the program, I think if Natalie Hurst, if the club was serious, they'd be looking at Natalie Hurst. Well, they are serious, even though they had returned the license and will be gone after this season. Ownership, Natalie got we parted by mutual consent on Monday, and now Matthew Clark, who's a young man in a hurry, assistant coach whose claim to fame is coaching Southern Tigers to an NBL one Central Championship with a pretty stacked team. He's taking over, and we should see whether this personnel, because that starting five is as good as any starting five in the league, and for them to be second last is, it's not a great reflection of the coaching.
Well, 2-6 they are to start the season, like you said. Boddy, what do you think this does for next season, or is it irrelevant? We see this season out and start again. I know they're handing the license back, but that doesn't mean that no one else takes it over or something changes. It's not to say there won't be an Adelaide team next year, in my opinion. Don't forget, there's new ownership group coming in and something could change there.
Yeah, it's just that this ownership group, Pellegrini, that they're done. So they're paying everybody. They're sending out this season. They're meeting all their obligations this season, but at the end of the season, they're done. Now, I don't think that impacts on a daily basis. I don't think that impacts. I think they just haven't been getting it right as a team. And some of the leads they have squandered, you know, you can't go 40-20 up on Townsville in Townsville and score 2 points and 5 points. I mean, you just can't do that and come away and sort of say, we weren't sure what was wrong. Well, it's happened enough times for you to have to have worked it out. And again, they've been beaten twice by Geelong. Geelong, out of their three wins, twice it's been over Adelaide Lightning. So there's a team that we were thinking might be lucky to get one or two wins for the year. They've already got three. And that's a bad reflection on Lightning. So the fact that they came out and beat Southside 97-71, 26-point win, that was one that was really against the flow of how they'd been going. So, I'm looking forward to see what Matthew Clark can do, see if he can turn their fortunes around, because the talent is definitely there.
Is definitely there. I agree with you. Let's just talk about Bendigo for a moment. They got away with a win against Perth, but they had to outscore in the fourth quarter 25-13 to get a win. Probably not one of their greatest wins, but do you feel that's the, well, good teams win the ones they're not supposed to, in a sense, and this team just keeps rolling on?
Yeah, and the fact is Sammy Whitcomb had a triple-double with 16 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. She only had one turnover, and she cancelled that with a steal. Mm. And Kelsey Griffin hit the floor for 17 points. I think the signs for Bendigo are good. Sometimes you've got to win ugly. I did predict
can
that
I,
without
can
Alex.
Can I say, Boddy, 0-7. 0-7 from the three-point line for Sammy, though. That's unheard of.
Yeah. It's true, triple-double. That's a nice consolation. But as I said last week, with Alex Cipitone getting married on the weekend, she was missing both those games, which is why I expected Perth to lose both, because she's an integral part of that team. And I'm not sure that she's there for Thursday night's game either, so against Canberra. But they should be good enough to beat Canberra. That said, Canberra in its loss to Southside had six players in double figures. That's a pretty good effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that means the assault is coming from all directions.
We'll come back. Yeah, we will come back to that with round seven. But let me just talk player of the round. I'm going to go first. I thought it was Kayla George. I thought Kayla played really, really well for the Sydney Flames, obviously. And with her points production, rebounds, she had 28 and 14. She was my player of the round. Who was yours? Yeah.
Well, she didn't have any numbers to speak of. In fact, she didn't have the most outstanding game to speak of. But it is Monique Conti for me, playing her first game since the AFLW finished, where once again, she was a star player of the AFLW. She comes in, has a bit of a week or two break just to get her body, over the injuries and the soreness that come with playing Aussie rules football. She walks onto the floor, starts for Geelong against Adelaide, and just the confidence that she exuded and the difference in her teammates, I think they were all standing a little bit like another foot taller than usual. So I'm giving it to her because I was really impressed with what her impact on her team. And they won quite handily by double figures over Adelaide.
Yep, good call. All right, let me get your tips. Southside v Geelong tomorrow night in Southside. I say Southside to win that. Your thoughts?
I can see Geelong sneaking that. I can see Geelong sneaking that. I'm going to go with Geelong, but I mean, Southside win. Southside should at home, but I can see Geelong sneaking that. Thursday, I'm going for Perth over Canberra, even without Cibatoni.
Me too. Bendigo to beat Townsville in Bendigo.
Yes. Geelong versus Sydney. Sydney.
Geelong at home versus the Flames. Yeah, I'm not sure about this one, buddy. I'm going to
150 points.
Yeah, but Geelong are feeling better at the moment. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I'm going to go for the Flames at home. On the road.
And everybody that listens to this pod fell off their chairs with that. Okay, well, I'm just going to go for
what a shock.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Geelong to have the best weekend of their season and get that one as well. And then the last game, Adelaide Canberra. I'm going to go with Adelaide. When a coach gets sacked, all the players on the show. It wasn't me. So that's what I think will happen there.
Yep. No, completely agree. And they're going to come out with their. Well, that's a beautiful wrap, my friend. And thank you for the WNBL. Let's move to the NBL. What a round. Is Bryce Cotton still in the talk of one of the greatest players to ever play in our league?
I told you. I think I said it on this program. I have a holy trinity, and that is two imports and one Australian. Andrew Gaze, Leroy Loggins, Bryce Cotton. I have them, and then I have daylight down to, you can say whoever you want, James Crawford, Ricky Grace, Rob Rose. You can just go on for hours on the next tier, but those three have obviously Andrew was seven MVPs and a couple of championships. Leroy with the grand final going through him 6 years in a row, and Bryce, what he's doing now, the way Bryce is seeing that ring. I mean, I've had days back when I was a player where I felt I couldn't miss, and I know everybody has. Everyone has a game when they know, but he's having game after game after game, shooting like.
At half court. I know it's just unbelievable. It's and I know you're including the warm-ups then when you say that you didn't think you could miss. I'm going to give you my top six first, and then you can give me yours.
I missed a lot in the warm-ups. I didn't waste my made shots in warm-ups.
I'm going to go. I've got Melbourne. Illawarra, a great win in Perth, by the way, from Illawarra. Sydney,
as I predicted,
Southeast.
Yep.
Then I go Perth, then I go Adelaide. That's my top six. I'm still keeping Adelaide in the six purely for the hit that they've taken by big players out. I still think they make my six in the end. With Tassie in seven, New Zealand, they are in a dive for me. Thoughts, Boddy?
Yep. Okay, well, I'm in... mostly in agreement with you, certainly with New Zealand. I think we discussed it. They made a huge error of judgment with Taco Fall. And I think it's coming home to roost. Now players have lost their way, lost their roles, lost their rotations. It's just not looking very good. Parker Jackson Cartwright's gone from MVP favourite to who are we talking about? That's a bit of a train wreck at the minute. If they can sort it out, then I still like them. I like their personnel, but I feel the same about Cairns. They're getting everybody back. If they could sort it out, but then when you lose, 11 in a row, you forget how to win. You just don't know how to do it. I see Adam Ford now getting caught up in things that shouldn't bother him instead of being in the focus of winning. So I have moved Brisbane up a bit. I thought the win over Adelaide was fair enough, but the win over Melbourne in Melbourne now, okay, I know Chris Gordon didn't play, but I like the way they went about that. So I've moved them to the edge of the six. So my six, same as you, Melbourne have won, Illawarra 2, Sydney 3, South East Melbourne 4. I think we're in agreement there. But then I've got Tasmania at 5 and Perth at 6. I've dropped Adelaide out because I just, they could win the championship or they could implode. And at the moment, I'm just not convinced by them. I'm not convinced by the coaching. And I look at Tasmania and I am convinced by the coaching, always have been. And I sort of think that's got to count for something. So I got Brisbane on the fringe of the six now. They're on their way.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I just feel I please hope that Casey Prather can keep going the way he's going because he's been phenomenal. But I feel it's on the back of some very big games. Like I think they scored like 60%, you know, that they shot or something like that from the field. It was 64% actually. And I just don't think you can maintain that level. And if they don't shoot like that, I don't think they can win. That's my point on that. So that's where I struggle with them. But
I don't see them.
They are outstanding.
I don't see Brisbane making
the playoffs. No, I agree.
But I tell you know who Casey Prather reminded me of last round? Casey Prather. That's who he reminded me of, Casey Prather. The guy that won two championships with Perth and then a championship with Melbourne, that guy. I don't know where he's been. Maybe he's injuries, lost a step, whatever. But this weekend past, we had Casey Prather back. And it was nice to see him.
Well, just to give you a point, like last year, this guy played 7 games. He shot 34% from the field and 41% from the three-point line. This year, he's played 12 games so far, shooting 49% from 34 to 49%. And he's just 41% from the three-point line. So very similar. His numbers is the old Casey, and it's fabulous to say. Can you give me your best moment of the round, please, my man?
My best moment of the round is Bryce Cotton's putback dunk. Missed shot. He comes up, throws it down.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. It was like, what can't he do at the moment? Like the way he's feeling about his basketball, I can't see anything that he can't do. Tell me who your player of the round is. And I mean, obviously, your player of the round. Sorry, give me your player of the round, then we'll go to player round. Player.
Yeah. So let me just say that I was in Perth. I was lucky enough to go to that game. Yep. And if anyone hasn't seen it, listen to Lockie Reed when he dunks it. It's the funniest thing. Damian Martin and myself just burst out laughing. He just went absolutely nuts. It was one of the best dunks to be in that arena. Like, it was next level. It was so much fun, that game to call. Look, my best moment is the fact that Tasmania have run 4 in a row. I think they're playing really well. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, they're doing what they're doing. And you know, I do agree with you with their coach, right? There's no question. He is a very, very, very good coach. And I love the fact that what he brings them, the confidence he brings them. I still wish that they would bring back the defend the island. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Sean McDonald has been back in this team and now they're starting to win. He had 14 points again, 6 rebounds, couple of assists. He is such a linchpin for them. And then you look at what Will Magnay is doing, 18 points, you know, 10 free throws he shot. He had 13 rebounds. Tell me he's not the first, well, one of the first guys picked in that NBL first team as a center. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. So for me, I'm just absolutely wrapped for Tasmania. Yes, I don't have them in my six yet, just not yet. But I tell you, it's hard to push them out at the moment and keep them out, I should say. So very much loving them. I'm going to move on to my player of the round because I know you asked me that as well. I can't go against Bryce. That's 3 weeks in a row, and it's 3 weeks that he's been absolutely outstanding. And I was there, right there to watch it. He scored 40 in a losing team, couldn't do more, then went to Adelaide and torched them for 49.
Yeah. 89 in 2 games, and then throw in the 59, you've got 148 in 3 consecutive games, which hasn't been done since Andrew Gaze in 1991.
Amazing.
3 in a row for 148. I've got a 3 in a row for 149 with Al Green in 1984. But, you know, they were 48-minute games. So honestly, what Bryce is doing right now, honestly, what I keep saying is...
Well, let me ask you this, actually. I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
If Bryce was playing 48 minutes a game, what do you think would happen? I mean, crystal ball thing, right? I get it. But what would that mean?
Well, I was lucky enough to have a chat with John Casey last week, and he actually took the 59-point game in 40 minutes out to what it would be in 48. And guess what it was? 71, which is what Al Green set the record in 40. Yeah.
Wow.
It was 70.9, so it was 71. So there you go. That's what he'd be doing. You could basically add another probably 8-10 points. You know, so yeah, he's out there. But you know what? This is the thing, Brad. We got spoiled. You got spoiled. No, I got spoiled.
Yeah.
Because all these guys would be doing this. You know, Dwayne McLean would come out and do this, and a Jason Reese would go for 54. But Leroy, we were just used to it, and now we've gone through this prolonged period where we've been getting excited about Chris Gordon's 50, and then we've had a decade from that. We've got this 46, and that decade we've sort of gone away from seeing these sorts of scores. So now to see them again, it's a wonderful thing. And I sort of wonder, have the defenses improved that much? Is it too much one-on-one basketball? Is it too much subbing? What is it that has kept us from seeing these sorts of performances over the last decade?
I'm glad you asked me that, because I have been asked that a couple of times recently. And my answer to that is the shots from the three-point line are so much different than what they used to be. I mean, Andrew Gaze was always a fabulous shooter. You know, you got your great shooters in the threes like Shane Hill, Derek Rucker, you know, Ricky Grace, you know, these guys were unbelievable. Daryl Pierce, you can keep going around and around. But what I have noticed is the 3-point shots that people are taking now, like Bryce Cotton, some of the threes he takes, like, oh my God, how did you even release that? You know, back in my day, and you would say this, like, you know, those guys would take good shots because you ran plays, you were open. Yeah, they were tough shots. And I'm not saying one's tougher than the other, but some of the shots they take now, like look at DJ from Adelaide, some of the shots you take, you're like, that's a terrible shot, but it's not for him. That's how he shoots, right? That's what they do. And for me, I just think that's been such a big noticeable thing for me, that these guys now are just taking threes like they're, you know, it's just unbelievable. They come off, they screen. And I thought it was very noticeable on Sunday. Melbourne really missed him, even though they shouldn't be giving up 122 points. There was a couple of times in that game where it was like, right, that's the play where CG would break their back on that. And he wasn't there and it hurt him. But I'm loving it. Who's your player of the round?
Well, obviously, Bryce is the player of the round. But for me, just for a point of difference, like I said earlier, it was really good to see Casey Prather return and play like Casey Prather.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm going to give it to him just on the fact that Brisbane won two games. As I said before, beating Adelaide, I don't know that was that wonderful. But going down to Melbourne and beating Melbourne, that anytime you do that, and Chris Gordon was out, but I'm pretty sure they were down Josh Bannon. So
it's a very
good performance, and one you can sort of go, okay, we can build on that. Although I still don't see them as a top six side at all. I don't see them. I don't see New Zealand.
I don't agree. See
Cairns.
I think they're going a nice. What's the word? They've got a nice patch going at the moment. But that's it. I agree with you. Can I have your nudge nasty?
Yeah, you certainly can. Mike Wells, 49 subs in a game of basketball. Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? It's a 40-minute game, and you've made 49 substitutions. You know, work it out. That's a rate of more than one a minute. I mean, I obviously didn't. That's not the way it was going. But that's. I don't think that's coaching, Brad. I don't think that's looking for the combination that's going to work. I think that's just interfering and wasting people's time. I'm sorry. That to me was just ridiculous. What is your Rosen Rattler for our French listeners?
I'm going to go the Heritage Round. I love the Heritage Round. Now, you know, I love the history of the NBL, and, you know, I still...
Me too.
You know, see and look up at those guys. Like if I see a Leroy Loggins, I'm like, he's the GOAT. I love him, right? If I see Andrew Gaze, he's the GOAT. I love him, you know? And and I love the fact that I can see those guys. And then, you know, last week I was down in Illawarra and they had the Heritage Round and all those Illawarra guys were down there. You know, you got Butch Hayes and you got, I mean, we see Chucky Harmison all the time. And I love that side of it. And I think, you know, going to Perth and there was Andrew Vlahov there. I even saw Alan Black, my ex-coach. And then Ricky Grace came out. And then the Kings are doing stuff in an old uniform. I think it's brilliant. And then I look at the Magic and I look at that uniform and I go, oh, that is so awesome. And then I watch the photos of what they've done. Andrew Parkinson, the story, that guy was, you know, like not doing well at all. And to see him now smiling and out, I just love the fact that they embrace this Heritage Round. I love it. I want them to keep going and more, it is never enough for me. And I love the Heritage.
I agree with you completely. I'm going to ask you this question without notice. When the new club was formed and they decided to call themselves South East Melbourne, should they not have just called themselves Magic and sort of used that legacy or created that rather than go in the Phoenix direction, which, okay, they've had 5 or 6 years now to try and establish that, 6 or 7 years now. But, you know, when that club came out, I thought, I hope they go Magic.
To answer your question, I would have wanted to go Magic, but that's me, man. I'm in a bubble. Yeah. Like I'm old school, right? So yeah, I get it, you know, like I can understand why they do that. Yeah, I get it. And I understand why they moved Tigers to United. You know, I get that. But you know, when the Sydney Kings were coming back, it was always going to be the Sydney Kings, nothing else. Brisbane Bullets come back, it's the Brisbane Bullets. So for me, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, question again, Melbourne United, why don't they come out in Tigers stuff? That was the club's origin. I know they tried to make it, we're going to unite Melbourne and have everybody behind the one club and we're going to embrace North and whatever. But realistically, that license was the Tigers license. Why aren't they ever wearing Tigers gear? I think that's a great shame. But anyway.
Well, it is an interesting comment because I'm pretty sure, and I haven't been to Melbourne for ages, but I'm pretty sure those singlets are hanging there of Julian Copes and things like that. Are. And probably, I think it's Ray Gordon and Brad Key. I haven't been there for so long, but so it's, it's a good point you make. Boddy, we're out of here, my friend. Oh, hang on. I want to get you round. Sorry. Okay. Let me go. New Zealand at home versus Tasmania. I'm going Tassie. I can't trust New Zealand.
Me too. Next one's good.
Yep. Brizzy at home versus Phoenix.
I'm going Phoenix.
Brizzy. I'm going Brizzy. Melbourne at home versus Illawarra. Before you answer this, Melbourne haven't lost back-to-back games for 2 years. No Chris Golding. Who are you going?
I've already got Illawarra marked. Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with Chris Golding. It's got to do with the last time they played, the controversial finish, the overtime, the tech foul on Justin Tatum. There's a lot to unpack there in terms of what the history of that is. I think Illawarra. Plus, remember last year's semi-final series. Illawarra got to win this. They have to win this if they're to be considered.
I love what you're saying. I'm just going Melbourne for purely one reason: they don't lose back-to-back games, and I think they'll come out. And I think they'll do it. Adelaide at home versus New Zealand. Adelaide easily in this one. Montrez coming back. Phoenix at home. Phoenix at home versus Melbourne.
Cairns at home to Perth.
Oh, sorry, Cairns. Yeah, Perth to win that one. Perth to win.
All right, upset coming up. I'm going Cairns. They're going to get their act together.
Phoenix at home versus United. I'm going to go Phoenix on this one. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, Southeast Melbourne. Oh, Jesus. Can we come back to that in a minute? Sydney, Brisbane.
Yeah, Sydney to get that one. They're getting Brisbane.
All right. I'm going Melbourne to beat.
Come on, give me a Phoenix one though. I'm not letting you get out.
Yeah, I'm Melbourne. The team with Melbourne in his name. No, I mean United.
Oh.
All right, get out. We're done.
Boddy, thank you, my friend. To our listeners, thank you, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this pod. Boddy and I just absolutely love doing it. He doesn't love me, but I love him, and that's all that matters. He's a crazy bum, but I love him. Boddy, thank you, my friend. And to everyone, we'll see you next week.
You shutting down?
Yeah, I'm shutting down, I gotta say. Yeah, it's just stopping now. Yeah, I couldn't think of an out. I was trying to think of one. Who you got? Boddy, I've got to ask you, Nat Hurst, do you think it was too quick to jump from assistant coach to head coach?
Yeah, I think you've really got to do a longer apprenticeship, and I don't think she was assisting long enough. I know she's done some NBL 1 stuff, but that's a very different step than WNBL. I think there are people who jump in just a little bit too early when they should still be doing the apprenticeship.
Ooh, I hope that's not the case with Christy Harrower.